You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Good morning and welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, Calvin Butenoff, coming to you live from our home at Radio Park in Racine, where you can always join us. Call or text, the number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching in the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Micah Daia is the head of civilian investigations and support and a founding member of Zero Shadow, a leading crypto and Web3 incident response firm. Micah, good morning. Thanks so much for joining us.
Good morning, and thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Well, let's start first of all with what it is that Zero Shadow does. From my understanding, you help crypto companies stay legitimate. Is that accurate?
In a way, yes. So we do a little bit of everything. So one of the things is, you know, we help those that are already in the crypto space stay safe. So, okay, hey, like, you know, doing audits, things like that, reviewing what are safe procedures, what's not safe. But primarily what we're known for is our incident response. And so that's when the bad stuff has happened, that they've been hacked, exploited, maybe, you know, there was something of an insider theft, North Korea, unfortunately, these malicious interviews, something more on the malicious side where they need on the go now 24/7 monitoring, where we're pretty much tracing, investigating, working with law enforcement, and kind of in a way like a crypto superhero where our goal is to freeze.
So are you looking out for like crypto scams though? Is that what you guys are involved in? Because
this
is a big thing. And I know I found a couple articles too. A lot of seniors and a lot of young people are pulled into these crypto scams.
Oh my goodness. I don't even know where to start, but that is one of our main things, is where we try to, you know, inform ourselves, hey, what is happening right now? Like, what are the big trends targeting people? And then it's not even just like targeting like the crypto exchanges, like the big crypto people who have millions and billions of dollars, but it's also like the individuals, because that's usually where it starts. And so, you know, like I'm pretty sure you're well aware of, like back then in the day, you'd receive a suspicious phone call. Somebody would walk you through, tell you to go to Home Depot, purchase like some sort of gift card, yes. So on. And so now with the crypto theft, like those pretty much like those like transcripts of what the scammers used to use have evolved, especially as the financial system has evolved, technology has evolved. And so it's been a fun, interesting time, unfortunately.
I don't mean, I do not want to come off disrespectful to our older folks, but like the directions of go to Home Depot, buy a gift card, and then the steps. I understand, again, I don't want to sound insulting. I understand how they get that process. But as far as crypto goes, how do seniors get pulled in when sometimes technology can be a problem where they don't even understand certain simple things that are everyday processes? How do they get involved in crypto then? How are you walking through that process?
Oh my goodness. One, I'm glad you mentioned that, Greg, because like when I'm, you know, chatting with victims, or I like to call them users, individuals afterwards, you know, it's so difficult just to get them on a Google Meets call. And so I question, I'm like,
yes,
it took me over half an hour to get you on a phone call just so I can see your face, so you can see I'm a human.
Yeah.
How did you get walked through this?
Yeah. Right.
Because like, if you've seen crypto, it's a little complex.
It's complicated. Like, it is.
It's very complicated, but these scammers are so patient.
Yeah.
I cannot even explain the patience they have. In a way, I'm like, they have a patience of a god, but that's their job. Like, they're pretty much in the business to scam. And so I've seen a few different trends of what they'll do to take advantage of the elderly. So one, you know, like, I'm sure you've all seen it. You get that suspicious text message. Hey, Mario, it's me. Do you remember me? Do you want to grab lunch? Hey, we met on that dating website. Hey, I'm going to be in town. You know, like those weird messages that somebody might be like, oh, okay. Like,
maybe I forgot. Yeah.
You know, I just got a new phone, so on. Oh, you know, maybe this will be like that story of that one grandma who opened her home to somebody that was confused on Thanksgiving. Yeah. And so they'll start that little messaging banter like, oh, sorry, apologies. Or maybe, you know, they start somehow like they answer a phone call where the scammer is impersonating, you know, somebody like such as law enforcement, financial institution. And what they'll do from there is, you know, they'll gauge, okay, hey, this person is not literate when it comes to cryptocurrency. They don't really know anything. So they might start with a few different angles. One, they'll say, hey, your 401k, your financial blah, blah, blah portfolio has been compromised. We need to get you to a safe space. Mm-hmm. Or they can start with the narrative, hey, you know, it starts on like some dating app application where they're lonely, whatnot. And the scammer says, hey, I'm involved with my uncle's investment opportunity. Like we have like these really great promotions coming up soon. Are you interested? So they start with some sort of like hook to bring them mm-hmm. in. And then depending on the patients, you know, they either one might hop on like a WhatsApp call, or they might share a video link. They might share a link that gives them access to their device where they're able to screen share. And so that usually tends to be one of the main two things is they try to find a way that that person, the individual, can give access. So then the scammer can walk them through, or they might email them a link because they'll be like, oh, here's my email. And then they have them click on the link, which downloads the software, the remote access software, where they might, you know, again, a lot of us use like password reuse. So like your password to your email might be the same password for your bank account. And then they walk the user through, hey, we need to make this safe. Like, so let's go do this. We're going to go open this account, and they walk them step by step where the, you know, remote control might be showing the arrows. Oh, you see this little thing in this upper left corner? We're going to click those dots. Oh, you see bank accounts. Oh, okay, hey, we're going to go on this drop down and you're going to connect your bank account. You're going to get some emails right now. Don't worry. Again, this is all part of the process. You're just going to say yes, 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 yes. And so I've had some elderly users where in the past weeks or whatnot, they didn't really know anything about crypto. Mm-hmm. Maybe there was a language barrier, you know, English isn't their native language. So they're concerned when it comes to immigration status, whatever the thing be. So that the moment, you know, your traditional financial institution calls you, they lie because the scammers are telling them to lie. And so we have on one end where the traditional financial system has like these enhanced due diligence measures to protect them. Mm-hmm. But then depending on the user, they're so engaged into it, especially if it's a romance scam, unfortunately, they're willing to lie.
Boy.
And so, yeah.
My stomach hurts now. I can just seriously though, I can imagine if I didn't have this job mm-hmm. and read as much as I do and talk to people like you, Micah, I can see getting a phone call, someone saying your 401k has been compromised. We need to do something right now or they're going to drain your savings. Mm-hmm. And that panic that you feel, right? And getting a call like that, and then trusting them, boy, Mika, when you talked about how they are walking you through the process of your own demise, essentially.
Exactly. Yeah. They're taking advantage of your emotions, the panic, you know, and because like they're heightening like these emotions and the panic, your normal alarms that are supposed to be preventative, they're out the window.
Yep.
You know, you're seeing things from such a narrow lens because that's what they want you to see. That's what they want you to focus on. Your family members could be calling on you to check you in that check in like, hey, if you'd answered their phone call, maybe you would have been like, oh, wait, like I shouldn't be doing this.
Yeah.
The sanity check.
Yeah.
But when you're in that moment where they're walking you through.
Oh, my gosh.
Your paranoia, all those alarms, those protective barriers, they go.
Well,
and this doesn't just happen. Yeah. It doesn't happen just to elderly people.
Right.
It happens to young people too that are in the system. They're like, I should have known better. You know?
If you're just joining us on Matt Nair on Air, Micah Daia is our guest. She's the head of civilian investigations and support and a founding member of Zero Shadow, which is a leading crypto and Web3 incident response firm.
And that's what I wanted to talk about next is that, you know, we have a person from the Better Business Bureau who comes here and talks about scams every quarter just to be on the lookout. And one of the things we always discuss that this is not an age specific thing. With young people, it might even be easier by just someone saying, hey, I'm going to use TeenSpeak. Hey, bro, do you want to get in on this thing? And they just click, 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 and they're done. And that's it, because they see crypto, they see riches, they see the world around
them. Easy money.
And it's easier. And this is a point where parents have to be involved in what their kids are seeing on their screens, because it's a matter of going from, you know, I mean, who knows if that bank account on the tablet is hooked to the credit card of their parents and they say, oh yeah, of course we want crypto, and they hit it. I mean, how are kids being brought in and therefore should be protected from these types of scams as well?
I think one of the main things is social media. Mm-hmm. They hear about these opportunities from social media, whether they're following some influencer on X, on TikTok, they're following an influencer on YouTube. And, you know, a lot of people read into the comments. And so, especially now with technology, we see that like AI, artificial intelligence, like people are impersonating, you know, celebrities, these fake endorsements, whatnot. They're reading into the conversation threads like, oh, hey, like there's this upcoming like token drop. There's this upcoming, you know, they're giving free crypto tokens, like drop your wallet in the chat now if you want to seize advantage of this. And so they'll be like, oh yeah, I don't want to miss out on this. Like the FOMO, fear of missing out.
Yeah.
And so they're clicking on things, they're connecting to things, and they don't realize like, okay, hey, maybe it's like an interesting URL. Like I'll just say tokenairdrop.top. And so they click on this thinking, okay, hey, like if I type in my crypto address, like I type in something, like I'll eventually get this free access. But what they don't realize is that this URL might be a malicious link where maybe they're spying into their device. Maybe they're what we call like a drainer, where they just drain everything. And they're like, why isn't it loading? Like, why am I not getting my free tokens? Mm. And it's because they're using that excitement of, you know, the crypto space, I'm going to get rich quick. And they're not thinking these things clearly. Like, as you mentioned, Greg, like they also don't think about like, what are the repercussions of this? Like, let's just say I click on this link. What else is connected to the device I'm using to click on this link? Which is something we see about like the elderly folks, like, oh, my bank account, my credit card, $20,000 worth, easily gone.
Oh my gosh.
Micah, do you guys do any tracking of cryptos that have essentially exploded? I mean, the value was super, super high, and then all of a sudden it was gone. I know there have been a lot of users who have invested in certain cryptos and then have lost everything.
Yeah. So one of the things with cryptocurrency is that it's volatile. You know, and it's kind of like the stock market, like it goes up, it goes down, it's influenced by other factors. But another thing is what we call like these rug pulls, where there are these fake token projects that people want to get in on, but then the owners or the designers behind this project, it all had malicious intent to take people's money and run. And so we focus more so on the latter of like, what is illicit? Like what is maybe something that we can connect to a previous scam, you know, previous rug pull exit. And so that's one of the things we try to look for is like, how do we get on top of it, of connecting the dots?
We're going to continue our conversation with Micah Daia, is the head of civilian investigations and support at Zero Shadow. We're talking crypto and how to stay safe if you are in that sphere. Stay close. You are listening to Matt and Air on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Good morning and welcome back to Matt and Air on Air. Jane Matt and Air, Greg Bach. Calvinator on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can join us 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching in the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Micah Daia. Daia, geez. I'm just going to call you Micah. We'll just make it easy. Is head of civilian investigations and support and a founding member of Zero Shadow, a leading crypto and Web3 incident response firm. Thank you so much for being here, Micah. It's been very interesting.
You know, in all this discussion we were just discussing with Micah about how crypto scams, they're just scams. I was trying to be a more whatever about it, but they're scams. How they target many people, what are the steps folks can take, older and younger, to keep away from this? I mean, not just like don't click on this, but when you get a phone call, that fear can be engaged. What can people do in the moment to prepare themselves where if they get that call, they can say, all right, they can hang up, do whatever. What do we do when we get that reach out from those people trying to take our money?
So some of the things I've told some people is, one, question everything. Mm-hmm. You know, like think about it, like when you were a little kid and you would want to ask your parents for some pocket change and they would ask you why, like, what is this for? And so, that's just one of the things I think of, yeah. Like, you know, when it comes to like our own family relationships, that we have struggles where if my brother were to ask me for $100, I'd be like, what do you need $100 for? But then oftentimes when it comes to the individuals with the scammers, they don't even blink an eye.
Yeah, we just accept it, right?
Right, you give them $10,000, $100,000. And so I say with step one, a lot of these often call, especially when it comes to the elderly folks, is you get a weird number. You know, it might be sometimes that they do the same area code where you live, or maybe it's one of those numbers that starts with an 8. And so you're like, okay, maybe this is like associated with a bank, like 888, 818, 808. My thing is, if you don't know that phone number, it is not saved in your phone, reject it. If it is important, they will leave a voicemail.
Yep.
And oftentimes they don't leave voicemails, you know, it's just, that's it. And then if you're curious, maybe like, let's say the next day, you can try and call that phone number and you're going to, most likely what's going to happen is it's disconnected.
After one day.
Within one day. Mm-hmm. And that is because either one, those phone numbers they're using are one-time use where they do, you know, they're not even in the US oftentimes. They're in India, somewhere in Asia, or maybe they're just like some really poop head of like high schoolers, young adults in the US that just, you know, they have nothing better to do. So they're like, hey, let's see who we can scam.
Sure.
Like, take advantage of these people. And so again, don't answer a phone call that you do not know.
PJ in the live stream says the same thing. Don't answer phone numbers that you don't recognize. The same goes for emails.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then let's say they do leave a voicemail. Well, I guess the next thing would be is try and see if you can Google or research that phone number, right? If they say, hey, we're with your bank, you know, hey, we're with this X financial institution, you know, your portfolio, whatnot, I would look at the back of your debit card, the back of your credit card, or maybe go in person to that institution and confirm, right? Because a lot of people are impersonating. They're saying, hey, I'm with so-and-so. Hey, I'm with law enforcement. But, you know, if you have those resources, go in person, confirm yourself. And they'll be like, hey, no, can you show us that email? Like, can you walk us through? Like, let's look at that phone number. Because oftentimes, if it is connected to an institution and say you didn't answer, in their system, they're going to have some sort of, you know, recording of it. If it was them, they'll have a ticket number, they'll have an open case, so on. And so that's the other thing I would recommend is look into it. You know, especially with emails, like those emails you don't recognize or those emails that look legitimate. Another thing might be is like clicking the email header is often what happens. I'm sure many of you are familiar with is they'll pretend to be like, hey, I'm with Chase Bank or something. But the moment you click that email, you'll see that the actual real identity behind it is, I don't know, rocketlaunch@gmail.com. It has nothing to do with Chase Bank. And so I think that's the only thing is just try to be a little more meticulous, a little more, you know, eye-opening. And then the most important thing that I've told a lot of people, when you wake up, try not to touch your phone for the first hour, because a lot of times, I am guilty of this too. try not to touch your phone for the first hour, because a lot of times we don't, you know, we're not aware. And so you're accidentally clicking on things that had you, you know, brushed your teeth, taken a shower, walk the dog, who knows? You'd have been like, oh my gosh, like that was a total scam. Like, come on now. Like,
Greg knows this from firsthand.
Okay. In the holiday, I think it was last year, in the holiday, I got a text from USPS saying, hey, we just need to confirm some information for your
delivery.
I'm like, oh, I'm getting a lot of stuff delivered. So I clicked on it. I confirmed it. And I gave him my number. And about 10 minutes later, my not sleepy morning brain kicked in. And I went, what did I just do? And I looked and I saw where the link came from. And I should have gotten 3 tickets driving to the bank, because I sped to the bank to cancel that card. And that's my point over all these discussions, that you may think you're tech savvy, you may think you question everything, but there are moments where you just aren't thinking and you do something and you're in this situation. So yeah, I think, Micah, that is a great, don't trust anything you get. Always ask questions.
Yeah. And it's like, especially it's like, you know, just take time to pause before you do something. So whether you're waking up, you're running around doing groceries, or you're at a party. I've had users where they were in control. This was a user, $20 million. They were at a party in Florida, accepted an AirDrop link, and then boom, you know? It's like, if you can, just take the time to pause and you can always come back to it later.
Wow. Micah Dahiya is with Zero Shadow, a leading crypto and Web3 incident response firm. It's been so interesting. Micah, thank you so very much for your time.
Of course. Thank you.
Have a great day. News is coming up next, and then a little audio sorbet on the other side. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Sweet Calby on the board, coming to you from our home at Radio Park in Racine. Join us at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream. Good morning, live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Before we get to our guests, just a reminder, today is the National Day of Giving, and we have partnered, WAUK Radio has partnered up with Wisconsin Humane Society.
Nice.
And Milwaukee Community Crossroads. You can help out if you are able. Go to walkradio.com, walkradio.com. At the very top, there's a banner. You can click on that. And that also has links to the Wisconsin Humane Society, which does such wonderful work. They're all over the state, particularly in southeastern Wisconsin. And also Milwaukee, a Community Crossroads. And again, if you can't make a monetary donation, we completely understand. Maybe consider volunteering, because these groups are always, always looking for bodies. That's how they keep the lights on in many ways. So thank you for everyone who participates. Yeah. We are joined by the woman we call the genie of just about everything at Civic Media, because she does a little bit of everything. Terry Barr is here. Good morning, my friend. How are you?
Oh, hi, Jane, Greg, Calvin, and everyone listening or watching. I almost feel bad coming to you today with kind of a goofy story. You're doing a great job between the giving and the pardoning.
Oh.
Somehow tying those together.
It's kind of a gift. It's a gift, all right. Those pardons are big gifts.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. It's their just giving. Listening to it's that their and giving. Thinking,
yeah. Well, I'm giving you pickles today.
What? Kind.
Yeah.
Oh God, he's got pickle issues. Jeez.
Very severe.
This.
He has strong pickle opinions.
I do.
Oh, okay. Well, this is all about the pickle ornament that many people put on the tree.
The Christmas
and
pickle.
Whoever finds it, what?
It's a Christmas pickle, right?
It is. It is. Thank you. You've heard of it.
Yes.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah.
Oh
yeah.
Yes.
Oh yeah.
Okay. But now, well,
We didn't do, we did not.
A survey.
Okay, good.
That has Wisconsin as one of the top states that this is a huge tradition for people to do. It actually, well, the rumor is that it comes from Germany. Mm-hmm. But boy, there's been a lot of back and forth about what the tradition really is. Here's one story I found when I was researching this. There was a gentleman by the name of John Lower, and speaking of pardons, he was actually in prison in Germany, and all they ever gave him to eat was a pickle. So when he got out of prison, he decided that pickle had been such good luck and a sign of survival that he started making pickles as ornaments for people to hang in their home. And then obviously at some point it came to Wisconsin and became the pickle in the Christmas tree. Very interesting. Now, there's a lot of dispute to this, and let's start.
I'm calling shenanigans.
You're calling shenanigans.
I'm calling shenanigans on that origin story for the pickle ornament.
Really?
If I was that guy and all they gave me to eat was a pickle, the last thing I would do would be memorialize the pickle.
I think you're
right.
I think,
yeah.
Jane, though, I think your shenanigans are based on the fact that he saw joy in what was happening, and there's a difference.
Wow. Okay, well, let's start with an explanation. This will help.
Okay.
From Jacqueline Kennedy, who is with the Milwaukee Museum.
Wrong Jacqueline.
Okay.
Contrary to popular belief, there really isn't one clear account or tradition of the pickle ornament. Glassmakers, who often made ornaments in the region of Thuringia in Germany, started making them after 1880 to satisfy an American market for these pickle decorations. Historians often understand food ornaments as a tradition that was created by second or third generation European immigrants right here, and they were also something that was put forth to the public by Woolworths. Woolworths is a name that many people are probably still familiar with. It was a well-known store at the time. It was the initiator and purveyor of a lot of popular Christmas traditions that are still in place today. So when people visit the Milwaukee Public Museum, if they're particularly sharp-eyed, they might notice that we actually do not have a pickle ornament in our German house in the European village, because we feel that the research doesn't indicate that this was a deeper, older pan-Germanism tradition.
It's Woolworth. It was Woolworth pushing pickle ornaments is what it was.
How about that? And you can tell she's asked this so often. She has the spiel, like, boom, this is what
I'm
it
sure,
is.
Right.
Yeah. And now, obviously, you know, we can find the pickle ornament right amongst all the other Christmas ornaments. So if you happen to be looking at the stars or the snowflakes, grab yourself a pickle, because Wisconsin, it is a slice of Wisconsin tradition.
Is that something you did as kids?
No. The only reason why I know about the Christmas pickle is because I used to work at a collectible shop, and something we sold was the Christmas. We broke a lot of Christmas pickles because they were made of the flimsiest material. And if you looked at it wrong, it would crack. I want to go back to something you said earlier, Derek, about in a survey done, Wisconsin is found to be one of the top recognizers of the Christmas pickle. I'm just very baffled that there was a survey done on this topic that someone needed to say, I need to find out. I need numbers. I need to know who. Well, I want to know who's the least.
Was the pickle ornament lobby?
Yeah. Well, apparently it's Woolworth. It's Woolworth.
Yes.
And at this time of year, it seems like there's a survey about almost anything related to anything to do with the holiday.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
for sure.
So it was kind of funny when I stumbled upon this, and then, you know, Wisconsin jumps out. And since I'm always looking for an interesting, traditional, fun, whatever kind of piece for the slice of Wisconsin, I just thought, I'm going to dive into this pickle idea.
Terry, is that something that you guys did when you were a kid? Did you have an ornament pickle?
Calvin, not at all.
Calvin, did you have an ornament pickle when you were growing up at Eagle?
I think we do have a pickle ornament, but I don't think it's because of any tradition. It's just because my sister liked pickles and my mom got her an ornament.
Fair enough. I'm just curious because I'm half German. My father came from a very German family. Mm-hmm. We did not have a Christmas pickle. So I'm just eight. We're going to do our own informal survey.
You're going to do your own informal survey.
Fine. 855-752-4842. 855-75-CIVIC. Growing up, not now, growing up, did you have a Christmas pickle ornament?
I love to write this one down here.
Yeah. Well, and it could be that it's a new tradition for some families and they start it with the kids.
Yes.
Because even though it's supposed to be a sign of good luck, whoever finds it in the Christmas tree on Christmas morning, there's also some other things. Oh, you get another gift. Or you get to open the first gift. Those are some of the other things that go along with finding the pickle in the tree.
Yeah. See, to me, again, this feels very much like a marketing ploy by the pickle ornament people. Yes.
So you're positing that there's big pickle ornaments.
There's big pickle. Yes. Big pickle is involved.
Don't ask her thoughts on Valentine's Day. You will never hear the end of it. Oh, my God.
It's a big pickle lobby dear. We didn't even know about.
Right. Well, I hope you get some answers from people. I am so curious about this, too. And again, when the word Wisconsin pops up anywhere in some kind of survey, I'm going to dig in. This one it seems so funny. And I thought, okay, well, this will lighten things up at least for a couple of minutes.
Oh, we love it. 855-752-4842. Did you have a Christmas pickle ornament? When you were growing up, Tony on the live stream, big pickle, get out of my fridge. I hear you. Brett from Brown Deer is on the line. Good morning, Brett. Pickle or no?
Good morning. No pickle. And I lived in Germany for 3 years. I never saw a pickle ornament there.
Yep. See, this is a we're being duped by big pickle. The big pickle
ornament people. Our conspiracy theories are so low rent. I mean, honestly, like, we don't even, like, tackle, like, the Kennedy assassination or Flat Earth. We're like, big pickle, not in my house.
See, but the weird...
I know, I love it.
You would think that a weird conspiracy like this would take off.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah,
Jane. Compared to other conspiracies out there? Come on.
Yeah, Jane, you'd think. I honestly didn't know about it until I was in my late teens, early 20s, because I worked at that store. Mm-hmm. And I've never known anyone to have it afterwards. And I am quite German as well. I'm German and Polish. Yep. And I had heard that it was a Polish tradition once, but who knows? Yep. I mean, that's the thing is, if it is a made up thing, then if it makes people feel good, that's fine. But I just like the idea that someone at the museum has to be on the ready to answer why there's no pickle.
Yes.
Because if you go to the streets of old Milwaukee, old Wisconsin.
Oh, it's wonderful.
The barbershop scene, no scissors, no shears.
Because they didn't have them.
They
had razors.
No, they had scissors back in the 1900s or in 1800s.
Why do they not have scissors?
No idea. That's why aren't we asking the big questions, Jane?
That's a conspiracy. We
don't
have
time.
We don't have time.
We'll ask about the scissors.
We don't have time for this scissor lobby question right now. We're focused on pickles. Oh, yeah.
Watch out, you guys.
Troy from Mount Horeb is on the line checking in. Good morning, Troy. What about the pickle?
We didn't have a pickle.
No pickle. See?
Actually, I don't have
Troy.
A pickle now either.
Oh, boy. All right. Well.
Thank you, Troy. Appreciate it.
I mean, you're asking the question, did people grow up with it? It's not really well known, but is it starting to grow in popularity? Mm-hmm. Are people like, quote, discovering their German roots maybe and saying, we need to have this. And someone's spouse says, why? And the person says, I don't know.
Well, but I think,
right.
I
some
think
kind of make up tradition.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. I think this has become a tradition because people invented it.
Yeah.
Essentially.
Right. And, I mean, we invented all traditions.
Well, there's that too. That's very true.
Yeah.
Look at the
well, let
wisdom
me ask
dropping
you about the
for
tradition break. Of the two of you and Calvin. Jane, what are we going to do without you?
Shut it down.
You're going to soldier on and be just fine. Everybody's going to do great. Everybody is going to do great. Greg and Calvin and Terry. And I just, again, I couldn't be prouder. And I couldn't be happier to wrap up my career than here at Civic Media with all of you.
Yeah.
It has been the most rewarding period of my entire career. It really has. And I think you all for that.
Yeah.
And I thank everyone who's been listening for all of that too.
And
it's been a huge gift.
Frankly, when I know we talk about when you're gone, but we will absolutely we'll never forget you, Joan. We'll always have you deep in our heart. And I must say, like, it's
Greg,
really, it's what?
You are awful.
I am. See, I had to do that because she was starting to cry and she doesn't like sharing her feelings on the air. So I did it.
Yeah. See, that's what you, Terry, that is, my mother would have said something like that.
Yeah.
She would have said, isn't that great, Jane? Now don't let it go to your head.
I didn't say
and
that.
She would have called me Joan. So that's perfect. It's just perfect.
My goodness.
Terry Barr is Civic Media's genie of just about everything. She is fantastic. Thank you so much, Terry. Love you. Take good care.
And much love to you, Jane. And thanks.
Stay with us. When we return, we're going to wrap it up with this Shouldn't Be a Thing, Take a Spin edition. You are listening to Matt Nair on air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Dr. Slide on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can join us at 855-752-4842 and leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Coming up tomorrow, friend, colleague, host of Amicus, a law review on Saturdays across the network, Jim Santel, is going to be here after 9:30. Lots to talk about, including this Pete Hegseth blowing boats out of the water, blowing survivors of boat blowing out of the water, the legalities of that or not.
The question I want to ask him, if I have the opportunity to, is why in the past week have we all of a sudden started caring this much where they're talking about him stepping down? They have been doing this for a while now.
Blowing these boats up?
Yeah. So that's a question I would like to ask. But yeah, there are always things. And also, not to mention the fact that a judgment came down recently saying that lawyers by the Trump administration were unethically, illegally appointed. They shouldn't have gotten their jobs. Weren't qualified.
Yeah, whoopsie.
So yeah, we'll be talking to Jim about that, and it's going to be a great discussion with him.
As it always is, it really is. You should check out his show on Saturdays. If you can't watch on Saturdays or join on Saturdays, you can always listen to it as a podcast.
Absolutely.
Find all the shows and lots of previous episodes and everything on our website at civicmedia.us. Also joining us tomorrow for Audio Sorbet is another colleague here at Civic Media, Aaron Carreno.
Yes, you and Aaron go way back, and this is the beginning of celebrating Jane in the weeks of her impending retirement.
I retire a week from Friday, week from Friday, December 12th, going to be my final show, also your birthday.
Okay, all right.
Don't think I've forgotten that. Haven't forgotten about that, Greg.
I also just want to mention really quick, even though it's Wednesday, we're still giving here with Giving Tuesday. Yesterday was Giving Tuesday, and you can still find out more about how we as Civic Media are getting involved. Each individual station has partners. WAUK, if you're listening to us right now in WAUK, we have the Wisconsin Humane Society and Milwaukee Community Crossroads. You can find out by going to civicmedia.us/WAUK/give. But go to the website, find out more. Giving Tuesday doesn't stop when the day is over.
No, it doesn't. And you can also go directly to waukradio.com.
Correct, yes.
And that will have, I believe it's one of the first things you're going to see, and one of the banners will come up if you want to make a donation. You can also donate your time.
Exactly.
They're always looking for that as well.
Yep.
Calvin, it is 10:55. It is getting late. That means it's time for...
This Shouldn't Be
a thing.
If you ever have a thing you think should not be, send it in to Greg and me at janesays@civicmedia.us. J-A-N-E-S-A-Y-S, janesays@civicmedia.us. This from ABC News. Mason Leith has the byline, the headline.
Wait, ABC News?
ABC
oh,
News.
Oh, boy.
Drunk raccoon found passed out in liquor store bathroom. The raccoon was released back into the wild after sobering up.
We got ourselves a raccoon drunk tank back there. Put him in there and let him learn his
lesson.
He's gonna hurt.
Sleep it off.
He's gonna hurt tomorrow. So just make sure you talk quietly in front of the raccoon.
Do you give a raccoon a hair of the dog?
You give a raccoon a hair of the squirrel.
That's what you.
I don't know what that means, but it's just what you do.
It's what you do. One Virginia liquor store had an unusual patron over the weekend. An inebriated raccoon found passed out in the bathroom.
There's a picture.
There is a picture of this poor little raccoon splooted right next to the toilet, face down.
Hold my fur!
Hanover County Animal Protection Shelter says authorities found the raccoon collapsed in the bathroom of the Ashland ABC store Saturday morning after the furry burglar drank multiple types of alcohol.
How?
The gin and the whiskeys were
the
all
opposable thumbs.
On the lowest shelf.
Yeah.
Officials say when they found him, they took the, quote, very intoxicated raccoon back to the shelter to sober up before releasing him back into the wild. After a few hours of sleep and zero signs of injury, other than possibly a hangover and poor life choices.
And questionable text messages. Oh, my God. We've all been there.
Drunk texting.
Man.
Don't do it.
Oh, God.
After sobering up, he was released.
Still love you, Linda.
Safely back to the wild. Hopefully, having learned, breaking and entering is never the answer.
No, man. I'll just buy you some alcohol if you want. I mean, I don't know if he's of age. I mean, that's the other question. I'm not going to buy an underage raccoon.
It doesn't say how the raccoon got in there.
Mm-hmm.
So we're not quite sure what the break-in involved. Maybe somebody just left the door open at some point.
Someone's getting fired.
Oh, big time.
Oh, man.
But if you would like to see photo evidence of this poor little raccoon right next to the toilet,
mm-hmm.
you wonder if he's done this before.
Well, I mean, like when they were taking it back to the drunk tank, it was like, I love you, man. You're so good. You do understand? I heard a lady today say, find some joy and spread. That's what I'm doing now. You're great. You are so amazing.
That wraps up today's episode of
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
Thank you, Greg and Calvin and all of our engineers and everyone at Civic Media, because without you, nothing works.
Mm-mm.
And thank you most of all for calling and texting and watching on the stream and for listening. It genuinely means the world. I hope you find some joy today, even if it's just the tiniest little bit, and you get to share it. Keep it here. We have news coming up next. Tom Hartman with your next keyword
mm-hmm.
for the Multi-State Text to Win Adult Gift List Contest. That's all coming up. Stay here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.